nitya dekshemam.
Isha vidvam sita sitam.
Isha vidvam sita sitam.
Parevare chane bhava.
Parevare chane bhava.
Guna hiti karadam.
Guna hiti karadam.
Nadesham vidyate shemam.
Nadesham vidyate shemam.
Isha vidvam sita sitam.
Isha vidvam sita sitam.
Parevare chane bhava.
Parevare chane bhava.
Guna hiti karadam. Nadesham vidyate shemam.
Nadesham vidyate shemam.
Isha vidvam sita shisham.
Isha vidvam sita shisham.
Pare.
Pare.
In the highest status of life.
In the highest status of life.
Avare.
Avare.
In the lower status of life.
In the lower status of life.
Cha, and
ye,
all those,
bhava,
conceptions,
guna,
material qualities,
vyatikara,
by interaction,
following,
na,
never,
desham,
of them,
vidyate,
exist.
Shemam,
correction.
Isha,
the Supreme Lord.
Vidvamsita,
destroy.
Asisham,
of the blessings.
Translation and purpose, Srila
Prabhupada.
We accept as blessings different status of higher life, distinguishing them from lower status of life. But we should know that such distinctions exist only in relation to the interchange of the modes of material nature. Actually, these statuses of life have no permanent existence, for all of them will be destroyed by the Supreme Controller. In our material existence, we accept a higher form of life as a blessing and a lower form of life as a curse. The distinction between higher and lower only exists as long as the different material qualities, the gunas, interact. In other words, by our good activities, we are elevated to the higher planetary systems or to a higher standard of life, good education, beautiful body, etc. These are results of pious activities. Similarly, by impious activities, we remain illiterate, we get ugly bodies, a poor standard of living, etc. But all these different states of life are under the laws of material nature. Through the interaction of the qualities of goodness, passion and ignorance. However, all these qualities will cease to act at the time of the dissolution of the entire cosmic manifestation. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita 8:16. Abrahma Bhuvanabhu Punar Akritino Arjuna Mamupetya tu Kaunteya Punar Janmana Vidyate. Even though we elevate ourselves to the highest planetary system by scientific advancement of knowledge or by the religious principles of life, great sacrifices and fruitive activities at the time of dissolution, these higher planetary systems and life on them will be destroyed. In this verse, the words Isha Vidvam Sita Shisham indicate that all such blessings will be destroyed by the Supreme Controller. We will not be protected. Our bodies, either in this planet or in another planet, will be destroyed And again, we will have to remain for millions of years in an unconscious state within the body of Mahavishnu. And again, when the creation is manifested, we have to take birth in different species of life and begin our activities. Therefore, we should not be satisfied simply by a promotion to the higher planetary systems. We should try to get out of the material cosmic manifestation, go to the spiritual world and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our highest achievement. We should not be attracted by anything material, higher or lower, but should consider them all on the same level. Our real engagement should be in inquiring about the real purpose of life and rendering devotional service to the Lord. Thus, we will be eternally blessed in our spiritual activities, full of knowledge and bliss. Regulated human civilization promotes dharma, artha, kama and moksha. In human society, there must be religion. Without religion, human society is only animal society. Economic development and sense gratification must be based on religious principles. When religion, economic development and sense gratification are adjusted, liberation from this material birth, death, old age and disease is assured. In the present age of Kali, however, there is no question of religion and liberation. People have taken interest only in economic development and sense gratification. Therefore, despite sufficient economic development all over the world, dealings in human society have become almost animalistic. When everything becomes grossly animalistic, dissolution takes place. This dissolution is to be accepted as Isha Vidhvamsitashyam. The Lord's so-called blessings of economic development and sense gratification will be conclusively dissolved by destruction. At the end of this Kali Yuga, the Lord will appear as incarnation of Kalki, and his only business will be to kill all human beings on the surface of the globe. After that killing, another golden age will begin. We should therefore know that our material activities are just like childish play. Children may play on the beach, and the father will sit and watch this childish play. The construction of buildings with sand, the construction of walls, and so many things. But finally, the father will ask the children to come home. Then everything is destroyed. Persons who are too much addicted to the childish activities of economic development and sense gratification are sometimes especially favored by the Lord when He destroys their construction of these things. It is said by the Lord, Yasyaham anukrihanami harishetanthanam shanam. The Lord told Yudhishthira Maharaj that His special favor is shown to His devotee when He takes away all the devotee's material opulences. Generally, therefore, it is experienced that Vaishnavas are not very opulent in the material sense. When a Vaishnava, pure devotee, tries to be materially opulent and at the same time desires to serve the Supreme Lord, his devotional service is checked. The Lord, in order to show him a special favor, destroys his so-called economic development and material opulences. Thus, the devotee, being frustrated in his repeated attempts at economic development, ultimately takes solid shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. This kind of action may also be accepted as Isha Vidhvamsitashyam, whereby the Lord destroys one's material opulences and enriches one in spiritual understanding. In the course of our teaching work, we sometimes see that materialistic persons come to us and offer their obeisances to take blessings, which means they want more and more material opulences. If such material opulences are checked, such persons are no longer interested in offering obeisances to the devotees. Such materialistic persons are always concerned about their economic development. They offer obeisances to saintly persons of the Supreme Lord and give something in charity for preaching work, with a view that they will be rewarded with further economic development. However, when one is sincere in his devotional service, the Lord obliges the devotee to give up his material development and completely surrender unto Him. Because the Lord does not give blessings of material opulence to His devotee. People are afraid of worshipping Lord Vishnu because they see that the Vaishnavas, who are worshippers of Lord Vishnu, are poor in superficial material opulences. Such materialistic persons, however, get immense opportunity for economic development by worshipping Lord Shiva, for Shiva is the husband of Goddess Durga, the proprietor of this universe. By the grace of Lord Shiva, devotee gets the opportunity to be blessed by Goddess Durga. Ravana, for example, was a great worshipper and devotee of Lord Shiva, and in return he got the blessings, all the blessings of Goddess Durga. So much so that his whole kingdom was constructed of golden buildings. In Brazil, in the present age, huge quantities of gold have been found, and from historical references in the Puranas, we can guess safely that this was Ravana's kingdom. This kingdom was, however, destroyed by Lord Ramachandra. By studying such incidents, we can understand the full meaning of Isha Vidham Sitashisham. The Lord does not bestow material opulences upon the devotees, for they may be entrapped again in this material world by continuous birth, death, old age and disease. Due to materialistic opulences, persons like Ravana become puffed up for sense gratification. Ravana even dared kidnap Sita, who was both the wife of Lord Ramachandra and the goddess of fortune, thinking that he would be able to enjoy the pleasure potency of the Lord. But actually, by such action, Ravana became vidhamsita, or ruined. At the present moment, human civilization is too much attractive to economic development and sense gratification, and is therefore nearing the path of ruination. Om Jnanati Nirandasya Gyananjana Shalaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnu Sthapitam Yena Bhutam Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandekam Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakam Shri Guru Vishnavasya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathambitam Tamsajivam Sadhavaitam Sadhavutam Parijana Sadhitam Krishna Chaitanya Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dhavita Shri Vishakhanatamsya Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutam Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ritinati Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prasadini Niravishe Sanyavati Pasha Sadesha Dari Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pudayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Guru He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatari Vote Govita Tato Siddhartha Tanta Tattata Jana Gaurangi Siddhartha Vrindavanishu Vrishabhanu Sudevi Pranamami Hari Nilachala Nidasaya Nityaya Paramatma Balabhadra Subhadravyam Jagannatha Nityamana Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Vaivasya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karatraja, Tangurma Jaiti Yat Kripatam Sandeshi Guru Dhinatayam Și rezultă nouă. Is hereby explaining the fundamental principles. Steer our lives towards the perfection of existence. In the previous verse, Sri Sankumar is explaining. There are the four principles: religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. It is liberation which has to be taken very seriously. Whereas the others are going to fade away, liberation opens up new doors. There is no doubt about the fact that material activities are entangling. Material activities are addictive as well. And therefore, the pool of material activities becomes a very stringent trap for the living entity. But the important principle being highlighted here is that although material activities are entangling, overwhelming, but our only hope is our struggle to get out of it. The struggle of a sadhaka to get out of the material illusions, to get out of this illusory plane of material existence. And that's why the concept of the concept of liberation is so much highlighted Because the pathway to liberation is that struggle, that endeavor, that yearning of the living entity to get out of this entanglement, to get out of this illusory claim. In fact, that marks the hallmark of a sadhaka. That struggle to drive through the illusory claim, through these illusory activities. In the present verse, Shri Sanat Kumar further explains this principle. In terms of highlighting the nature of material activities, the nature of material display, there is no doubt about the fact that material plane offers us such highly intricate and such exquisitely colorful display. Which, in a way, bewilders the intelligence of the living entity. Which, in a way, puts the living entity into a spell. And the living entity can get enchanted. So the variegated flavors of the material activities and the material displays in fact are so much enchanting that one's whole life may pass away in simply trying to gather one flavor after another, in trying to run after one effect after another. Rejecting a lower flavor and accepting a higher flavor. And slowly, the high becomes low, and they are still higher in the row. And in this way, the game never stops. So here is Shri Sanat Kumar explains that what is appearing as a higher status of life may be very appealing, and in front of the glaring dazzle or the effulgence of the dazzling effulgence of what is appearing as a higher status of life, one's present situation may appear embarrassing, may appear as a low status. And in this way, the journey of flip-flopping between the various permutations and combinations of the modes of material existence or the material modes goes on, and it perpetualizes one's existence in this world. So here it is explained that we may accept as blessings different statuses of higher life, and we may accept as curse the lower statuses of life. But these distinctions are simply various permutations and combinations of the modes of material nature. So these distinctions of higher and lower are products of the wild figments of imagination of our own mind, material mind, intelligence and ego, individually and collectively. Individually it is conditioning, and collectively it is the fashion or the norms of the society. So that is higher and lower. Now Srila Prabhupada brings about this important aspect or this important revelation that what is a blessing and what is a curse. Simply playing around with different flavors of what appears to be a higher status of life is not a blessed situation. Blessing or curse has to be decided not in terms of the colorful display, but in terms of what sustains along the test of time. And that is why the one point argument which Srila Prabhupada is explaining is that all these flavors of high and low are transient, and eventually they are going to be destroyed. So which permutation or combination is our destiny brings about or our activities bring about, that does not matter, because it is all transient. It is not going to have a lasting impact. It is just like It is just like sometimes when one is playing around with a kaleidoscope, then one can see various patterns, maybe of broken bangles or broken. One can see various patterns. Some of the patterns may appear very attractive. Some of them may not appear very appealing. So sometimes one may land up in an attractive pattern. Sometimes one may land up in not so attractive pattern. But the matter of fact is that it is all transient. It doesn't have any impact on our perpetual existence. But just like people watch movies, some movies may be very maybe very exciting, some of them may be boring. These are all patterns. But no movie can change the fabric of our life. So the material permutations and combinations create titillations. But real intelligence lies not in running after titillations. Real intelligence lies in running after, not after titillation, but after substantiation, after transformation. Transformation of heart. Substantiation of lasting footing in our existence. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see the wonderful pastime of Maharaj Chitraketu. Maharaj Chitraketu, as the emperor, as a ruler of the Vidyadhara planetary systems, with hundreds and thousands of with hundreds of beautiful queens, heavenly damsels, and unimaginable opulences, an array of complete and perfect material situation, dazzling with material opulences, much more than even one may even dream of. But then, as Srimad Bhagavatam explains, the state of existence of Chitraketu Maharaj in such an oceanic opulence was extremely miserable. He was completely empty in the state of his heart. Because that one missing element in his life was enough to overshadow or fade away this entire game of opulence. And then that's what was Maharaj Chitraketu's hankering for a son. In spite of having everything, he was so miserable. மேரேஜத்திற்கு சொன்ன. And then as the pastime unfolds, we see the point that, or we see the situation when Maharaj Chitraketu realizes or gets awakened to the spiritual reality and takes on to a fervent devotional service and becomes highly elevated. There is this episode where Maharaj Chitraketu is cursed by Mother Parvati. The presence of the curse are very horrifying, because the tenets of the presence of the curse means that in one moment Maharaj Chitraketu loses all his opulences. His kingdom, his following, his power, his prowess, his heavenly body, his beauty. And he was cursed to dust and powder. He was not even allowed to have a human body. What to say of a demigod body? That was the state of Maharaj Chitraketu. But now Bhagavatam reveals how at this juncture of Maharaj Chitraketu's life, when he was cursed to become a demon, he was completely unaffected. And even in that state, he was taking deep shelter of the Lord. So we see this contrast in the life of Maharaj Chitraketu. In one hand was a situation wherein he was replete with almost any kind of opulence which one can imagine. Almost. And in the other kind of situation, the situation wherein Maharaj Chitraketu was deprived of almost every kind of opulence. And in the first situation, Maharaj Chitraketu extremely miserable, whereas in the second situation, Maharaj Chitraketu was completely blissful. The question is why? Because at that point of time, or at that juncture in his life, he had attained that treasure which nobody can take away from a person. And that is one's surrender unto the Supreme Lord. That is one's devotion unto the Supreme Personality of God. Because he had attained that treasure, then any particular display of material opulences doesn't matter. Presence, fading presence, or absence. So therefore, as a sadhaka, as a devotee, one should strive for the permanent asset. And that is a struggle which a sadhaka, which as a sadhaka, one needs to push oneself towards. That's why Srila Prabhupada explains going further that although economic development and sense gratification are very strong forces. In fact, Prabhupada explains that economic development and sense gratification are the very (clears throat) primordial pulling forces which is pulling the material civilization forward. But then Prabhupada explains the principle that it is these principles of religion which are very important. And therefore Prabhupada explains that to be able to get out of this plane of the bewitching trap which the material modes, the permutations of material modes create, what one needs is to adjust religion, economic development and sense gratification. Prabhupada explains that this adjustment is the struggle of the sadhana. Religion, economic development and sense gratification needs to be adjusted. And Prabhupada explains the adjustment has to be in such a way that religion becomes the foundation. Religion becomes the basis. And Prabhupada explains that when this is so, or when this is done, then and then only the question, there is a possibility, or the question of another, the question of liberation surfaces up. There is a possibility, there is a chance that one can get out of this cycle of material birth, death, old age and disease. There is this duties. It is this activities of Krishna consciousness which should become the basis, Prabhupada explains. And this is the only way by which the possibility of liberation can exist. So therefore, as a sadhaka, one needs to struggle towards this objective, to make the activities of Krishna consciousness as to make the activities of Krishna consciousness as a basis. Now the material flavors may sometimes come and go, but the spiritual activities should always remain. The spiritual activities should always be executed. Prabhupada explains that the plane of material activities is like a child's play. Prabhupada gives the example of small children playing on a beach, making castles of sand. And then Prabhupada explains that just like a father may sit and watch, but at some point of time he may have to call the children. So in the same way, the construction of the illusory castles of the modes may appear appealing, but then at some point of time, the call needs to come. At some point of time, one has to interface the reality of the call. And then Prabhupada explains the principle that this particular call of destruction or disillusion, this is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So So we see that whenever there is an attempt whenever we struggle to catch the material energy, when the destruction takes place, the experience is more painful. Whenever there is a struggle to run behind material energy, the destruction is inevitable, and when the destruction takes place, the experience is more painful. And that is being explained as the mercy of the Lord. That it is this mercy of the Lord. The Prabhupada explains that disturbance is a proof of intoxication. The fact that in our life we face disturbance substantiates the point that there has been sufficient intoxication in our hearts. Because unless there is intoxication, there is not going to be disturbance. So therefore, the disturbance in our lives have to be taken as a warning. That the Lord is creating a situation in which we come to realize that we are getting deviated, and we can restrain our path, we can refrain ourselves, we can restrain our steps and reinstate towards the Supreme Lord. That is the point. That's why it is called as the mercy of the Lord. It is not just, so when Prabhupada quotes this verse of Yasyaham Anugrahanami, so the devastation does not mean a colossal catastrophe. We may not be even able to bear catastrophes. But actually, the small disturbances in our life themselves can teach us a wonderful lesson. We don't have to go through excruciating, tormenting situations to be able to realize one's folly. But one can actually see and evaluate oneself on a continuous scale, actually. So we will see on one hand spiritual life also offers us happiness, also offers us peace, also offers us a state of fulfillment. But the difference is that it offers us this particular state after a good amount of time. And therefore scriptures explain that the path of spiritual life, the path of goodness, the path of yoga is poison in the beginning, nectar at the end. It takes a good amount of time. And the reason that if we contrast it with material flavors, they can offer an immediate effect because they offer titillations. So the reason why spiritual effects take time to come is because it creates a foundation for us. It creates a footing for us. The plane of illusion or titillations is a bottomless hole. No amount, whatever amount of titillations, there is no standing, there is no footing. But the spiritual activities can create a footing. So this is the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and therefore actually there is the reason why the Lord does not put the devotees into a state of too much material intoxication or too much material opulence, so that very easily we can come to our senses. Because if the intoxication or illusion is too intense, then the possibilities of getting back on track are going to be minimal, are going to become lesser and lesser. And therefore, the time it takes to progressively move on the spiritual journey is going to increase. And that's why specifically the Lord does not offer material opulences. Now Prabhupada explains so beautifully here. Specifically, the Lord is not interested in offering material opulences to the devotees, because the Lord cares for the devotees. And that is a special flavor. That is a special favor. So we will see, this is the same reason why, in general, Krishna does not interfere too much with one's material karma. We must see, even as a devotee, we are facing so many problems and struggles. And sometimes, or many times, it may appear that even after practicing devotion or service, the life and the struggles remain the same. So much struggle. So Krishna allows one's karma to come to him more or less. More or less. In general, the Lord allows the karma to come to the living entity so that he can struggle through it. And in that struggle, one can keep up the remembrance of the transient nature of the material world. And thereby strengthen one's determination to engage in the activities of substantiality. That is the activities of devotion. That is the Lord's mercy, or that is the Lord's favor. So therefore we will see that in this way, the Lord arranges the living entity, the Lord arranges the sadhaka to go through numerous struggles. Another way we can see it as Lord's mercy is because, another way in which we can see it as Lord's mercy is in this way, just like when a particular machinery has to be made, then the machinery is tested against all kinds of faults. It is tested against all kinds of faults. It will be subjected to maybe a high pressure condition, a high tension condition, a high temperature condition, all kinds of obstacles which may come to their highest degrees are used for testing. In that way, the machinery design becomes more and more robust. Therefore, when it is launched, it doesn't fail. In the same way, actually, we see that in the practice of a sadhaka, what may happen is that as time proceeds, the Lord brings about one weakness after another, fluffs up one weakness after another, and exposes it to us. Then one weakness after another, one weakness after another. And then in that struggle, a devotee may be wondering that from one anartha, simply hopping to another anartha, and then maybe a little more subtle flavor of the same anartha, and maybe a relapse of the same anartha, and so on and so forth. And in this way, the struggle for a devotee always continues. But the point, the principle to be highlighted is that in this way, the Lord is making us more and more robust. The Lord is making us so much more and more robust, actually. And that is the Lord's mercy. And that is the Lord's mercy. So therefore, the The principle of Vidvamsitashisham should not be seen as a horrifying or a dreaded concept, but should be seen as a concept which helps us, should be seen as an active participation of the Lord, an active help of the Lord, which can steer us forward in our devotional journey. Which can steer us forward in our devotional journey. And that is why the struggle towards liberation has to be the prime principle of a devotee, the prime resource from where we can derive our strength or derive the meaning for our activities. So to summarize, we discussed about, so what is a blessing or what is a curse? To understand that, one needs to see or one needs to evaluate what is a substantial flavor which can last the test of time. So material situations, the permutations and combinations of material situations may appear titillating, but they are not substantial. They are transient. Therefore, it doesn't create much effect. To understand this, we saw the contrast in Maharaj Chitraketu's pastime. In one situation, having almost all opulences and completely miserable, and in the other situation, being almost deprived of all opulences and being completely blissful. And then we discuss that yes, although the drives of economic development and sense gratification will be very attractive, but although they are attractive, what needs to be emphasized to get out of the bewilderment of the two is to emphasize religion. That is the activities of devotional service. And that's where Prabhupada explains that the adjustment of religion with economic development and sense gratification. That means accepting the economic development and sense gratification which may come naturally as a byproduct of religious activities. Then in that way, focusing on the religious activities, and that is what can open the pathway to liberation. And then we discussed about that, yes, this kind of exposure of the transient nature of material energy or the material flavors is a great blessing of the Lord. And that is the import of Yasyaham Anugrahanami, or that is the import of Vidvamsitashisham, which is being explained in this verse. The Lord, out of His supreme mercy, He is not interested in giving us material opulence so that we can very easily come back on track. And therefore, rather than hopping from one illusory shelter to another illusory shelter, one should run towards Krishna. That is the prime objective, or that is the prime activity which can drive one towards perfection. We'll start here. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.